Hello, hello, everybody. This is another segment of the Paid to Speak. We welcome you tonight, and we want you to go ahead. If you're on here live, we want you to hashtag live. If you're looking at the replay, hashtag replay. But tonight, we are coming together to reason with one another over the subject of inclusion, a conversation over inclusion. Most people recognize inclusion as the gospel of inclusion, and it connected to Bishop Carlton Pearson. But tonight, we're going to touch on it.
Exactly. What is inclusion?
What is
it? You know, inclusion, by definition, is simply the act or state of including or being included with a group or a structure. The gospel of inclusion is where everyone is saved, regardless of their faith. Because just as Adam brought death unto all men by his actions, so did Christ brought life unto all men according to his death on the cross. So that just like everyone was affected by Adam, that everyone is affected by Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Whether or not they believe or whether or not they've accepted, just as the rain rains on the just as the unjust, apparently the belief is that the blood of Jesus Christ also covers the just and the unjust. That is the gospel of inclusion. But inclusion is simply the action or state of being included with a group or a structure. So tonight we are going to talk about what are the problems with inclusion? What are the real problems with it? And what things are we really bumping up against? What does God say about it? And what do you think his heart is in regards to the matter? So we're going to put it on out there. What are the problems with inclusion?
Well, what I want to do right now is we have a special guest on here.
Yes.
And I want him to introduce himself because I know it's going to be too elaborate for me to elaborate.
Oh, no, no, no. glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andre Fullwood. I am good friends with the Pages. We've been in school together and just so excited and so proud of my Kingdom brothers and sisters. I support them whether I can be, no matter where I'm at, they got my support. And it's really, I was kind of nervous at first, but now I'm so gung-ho about it because it is alarming. It is alarming. And when I shared a little bit of it with Pastor James, he said, this is dangerous. This is a dangerous doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very dangerous doctrine that could really have people believing that they're going somewhere and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there.
Amen. That's what's up.
Amen. Now, this is the thing, because in all things, we have to look at, again, the scriptural basis behind a lot of what they are saying. Excuse me, I'm trying not to cough here. As well as, you know, how they came to the conclusion that they come to. And is there really any weight to it? In other words, you know, is there really any truth to it? So again, we're coming out of Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And we're going to, okay, so I'm just going to read it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come. And then, and I'm going to go to 16. Well, I'll just keep reading. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many.
and not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So again, they're sticking with the phrase that by one, all, upon all men, unto the justification of life. And I think that we all know, you know, anyone hermeneutics will tell you, you have to do line upon line, precept upon precept. You have to have other scriptures that are going to back up that premise. And then if there's another scripture that contradicts that premise, you then have to dig even deeper to say, okay, what is really being said? And so I can think of several scriptures that do not agree with all men are saved because Jesus Christ died without belief. I mean, we can just go to John 3:16. Right. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But there's a caveat that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there is a caveat to that belief. So I'm
gonna be quiet. Well, I want to add a scripture in there because in my homework I saw Acts 3:21, mm-hmm. and you know a lot of denominations, you know how they'll pull one scripture out of context, mm-hmm. and they add it all up and build it to whatever their belief is. So what he was saying was, he was saying that the ancient church teachings. That is the restoration of all things. The restoration of all things.
Mm-hmm.
As spoken by the mouths of the Old Testament prophets, Jesus mm-hmm. and his apostles in the early church, for at least the first 500 years, the teaching of hellfire plunged the church into dark ages. So this is one of his things that he got from listening to Bishop Carlton Pearson, right? So when you look at Acts 3:21, it says, this is Amplified, whom heaven must receive and retain. We're talking about Jesus Christ until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. So this is something that they're going for, the restoration of all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back a couple of scriptures before, we go back to verse 19, it says, so repent.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we have to repent if we're already in?
Mm.
It says, so repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving, with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. So with everything else, even though he died for all, and if you've ever been around, you know, Dr. Jerry and Cheryl, yes, Christ died for all, but in many scriptures he said, but only many will receive him.
Mm-hmm.
Only many will receive him. Yes, he died for the entire world, but we even know in our family, we got loved ones that have not even accepted Christ. Even though it's made available, the grace has been made available, the ransom for us to be reconciled, everything has been made available here. But it's like they exclude that part. Mm-hmm. They don't, it's like, okay, in this gospel of inclusion, you can keep living the way you're living because the work has already been done. You don't mm-hmm. have to do anything on your part. And that's the dangerous part of this doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But then I also, and I know you want to chime in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I agree, but then I also have, there's another even side to that. Mm-hmm. Because just as we have to receive the work of Christ Jesus for our salvation, mm-hmm. we have another side to that coin. Because mm-hmm. we also have many faiths that believe that their righteousness comes by their own works. Mm-hmm. So if your righteousness comes by your own works, then the blood of Jesus is of no value to you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so on the other side, you know, you have one side that says that you don't have to change, you don't have to do anything, you're automatically saved. Then you have another side where you have a lot of religion that is telling you that, well, you have to do A, B, C, D, E in order to be saved. And mm-hmm. then you have people who are trying to bring about salvation based on their works and not on the works that Jesus Christ did already on the cross. Mm-hmm. So if you're depending on your own works, if you're depending on your external garb, if you're depending on, okay, well, I'm a good person, I'm doing these works, or I'm going to church every Sunday, and you're depending on your works and not the works of Christ Jesus. Because see, when you depend on the works of Christ Jesus, you've accepted the works he did on the cross. It should bring about a freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But then instead, we have a lot of people who are in bondage to the law, to religion, to trying to be righteous in their own works and in their own actions. And the first group that comes to my mind, you have the Hebrew Israelites, you know, who that's a whole nother story. But, you know, you want to be beholden to the law and have Christ Jesus at the same time, bro, that don't work.
It don't work.
It just does not work. You're either going to depend on the works that Jesus Christ did and be covered. So on the one hand, I can appreciate some of what he's saying, but there is a caveat. You have to believe. Mm-hmm. You have to receive the works of Christ Jesus. And mm-hmm. the other part is, I think we get in trouble because the Word of God tells us that it is God who adds to the church daily, such as who should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the issues that I have, and even why I think inclusion, as far as the gospel of inclusion, is one thing, but the premise of inclusion in regards to being able to love one another, period,
mm-hmm.
being able to fellowship with one another, period,
mm-hmm.
Is something that I also believe that God really does desire for his people. I mean, Apostle Paul there are like 200, over 200 different Christian denominations.
Yes, it is.
And if in the world, it's over 45,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, if not more.
If not more.
Mm-hmm.
And any one of them will exclude you if you don't do any one particular. They'll exclude you if you don't baptize in Jesus only.
That part. You're not even saved. They will tell you you're not saved if you're not baptized in Jesus' name.
I think that the Great Commission has been misunderstood. And this, when you look at the Great Commission, where it talks about Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part, Acts chapter 1, to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. If that makes it what it is, then everything has to spread to all men. The problem, we're kind of more talking about only to ourselves. So in other words, we're not going outside the walls. We're more concerned with those who are talking the same as us, which brings up the vision of actually going out to the whole world. So in the whole world, who do we got in the whole world? We got all these different religions. We all got all these different people that we're supposed to go out and win souls and reach people for the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. The inclusion part is so, the gospel of inclusion is, to me, it's like, it's a gate in front of us that tells us no, go out and don't let nobody in. So we can't include people. I mean, how are we going to reach the uttermost parts of the earth? Are we just going to skip over the Muslims? Are we going to skip over Jehovah's Witness? Are we going to skip over all these other different religions, Buddhists, and whoever? So the inclusion, to me, makes sense, because these are the people that we have to go out and be able to be friendly enough and love to be able to spread the love of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, to a lost and hurting, dying world. Because you got so many people that made decisions to be something else other than being in the kingdom. So what do you think about that?
I think you're right, because we get... The churches are only, a lot of the denominations are only concerned about themselves.
Okay.
That's the only thing that matters. And so, you know, there's some particular denominations have their own song. You just can't join in. You got to be born in. This is the church of da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's this, you know, it's like, this is how we do things here. It doesn't, it's not about, so it's more of an organization than it is an organism that welcomes everybody, because we know some denominations, if some came in off the streets, whether they were homosexual, whether whatever their lifestyle is, a lot of these denominations don't even know how to minister to them, because they're so caught up within their own structure. They're caught up within their own governmental structure, their hierarchy, and everybody's trying to, you know, get to the next level and all these other things. But what about the people? What about the people that you done shunned out? That's not God. That is not God. And so we build these, so we have these idols within these denominations, which is, and so it just, it lets you know that this ministry is really, it's just an organization. It's not an organism. God himself is organized, is always alive and is living and is thriving. And he does. He wants all men to come unto them. You know, he wished that none shall perish.
Yes.
Yes.
None to perish. And so who are we to exclude anyone, but also understand that, like I said, he died for all, but only many are going to receive Christ. Only many are going to confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that he is, you know, their Lord and Savior. And so that's the tragedy out of all this. But with this doctrine, it's pretty much just live the way you want to live.
Yeah, that's the danger with the gospel of inclusion, is that there's no caveat. You don't have to believe, you don't have to accept him. You don't have to desire to be added into his body. And see, but something that a lot of times, again, when Christians are operating in the gospel of exclusion, which is something that we operate in quite often. We operate in the gospel of exclusion. We don't necessarily listen to, let's say, the Buddhists. Now, let me say this even about some Buddhists. You have a lot of Buddhists who believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you that their Buddhism is their methodology of connecting to God in regards to their meditation and how they basically deny themselves, but they still accept Christ, Jesus Christ, as their savior. But they denounce Christianity because of the behavior of the Christians.
Wow.
So the thing is, Christ, when he gave us the command, he said to be witnesses to him and as witnesses of him. So we are to go everywhere and show people who Christ Jesus is. Now understand, Christ Jesus is the one that gave the parable when the disciples asked, who is my neighbor? And he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, according to that society, the Good Samaritan was not accepted. He was excluded from any kind of benefit, excluded from the benefits of the Messiah. So Jesus was including the Samaritans. He says, go into the outermost parts of the world. He's including the world for you to be a witness, that as you witness to them, show them the power of Christ Jesus. He gave us one command, which was to love. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Who are our neighbors? The Samaritans, those who are in the outermost parts of the world. And we're to be witnesses to them of who Christ is, what yep. Christ has done. But we've gotten caught up in, like I said, the gospel of inclusion is dangerous, but the gospel of exclusion is just as dangerous, if not yep. more dangerous, because mm-hmm. it's stripping people away from knowing who Christ really is. Mm-hmm. If we, as the body of Christ, can truly understand the works of Christ, then we would be telling people, all you need to do is come to know Christ and accept him. I don't care where you are, because I'm not the one that's going to fix you. Mm-hmm. I can't change
that part
you.
Right there. Right. Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the one going to change you. All I'm supposed to do is love you and show you the love of Christ, show you what Christ has done to me, done for me, be a witness to who he is, both in power and works, cast mm-hmm. out some demons, show you some love, invite you to Christ. When you accept him, then he gonna start working on you. And so, come on, everybody, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're included in regards to, you're included to the way. You're included in being in the way. You right. can come yeah. to the way, all right? Mm-hmm. But you have to accept the way. You have to accept Christ, mm-hmm. because Christ is not just gonna jump on you to change you.
Right.
You have to invite him in and invite Holy Spirit. So the gospel of inclusion is dangerous. The method of exclusion is equally dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in the middle?
The middle is man. The middle is man. Man, when I say man, it's kind of like, depending upon the agenda of man will try to take something and shape it and make it into something where they have control.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have people that have their own agendas and their own way of manipulating things and manipulating, controlling a narrative, then you get, you know, a gospel inclusion. You know what I'm saying? So, and another thing to me is that We're living in a time where religion is starting to come down. And people, when they hear this inclusion thing, this is shaking so much of this erroneous foundations that have been laid. Man taking a different interpretation other than what God is saying, or trusting in what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get back to the original blueprint that basically allows us to be able to be inclusive and not exclusive?
Teach Jesus. What did Jesus teach?
Yes.
He taught the kingdom. The kingdom was on his shoulders. And to really add to what you're saying, think about all the generations of cultural preaching, cultural religion that yes. we grew up with. So even us, like ourselves, who are, our minds are being renewed by the kingdom, we're also seeing how much religion is yet still in us, and yet still we're kicking out of us. And so we share the kingdom aspect, because he said, something like, when this message is preached, what message? The message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? The kingdom does not mistreat people. The kingdom does not exclude people. He said that, matter of fact, we know that the kingdom of God is what? It's in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I said to the class or one of my broadcasts, I said, how many do your neighbors know that the kingdom of God is around them?
Mm-hmm.
Because the kingdom is inside of us. But many of us, we talk kingdom. We put kingdom in our church names and everything else. But we don't know kingdom. We don't know kingdom because we still hate our brothers.
Right.
We still hate different races. We are prejudiced. We are racist. It ain't just the white people. Excuse me. It ain't. It's us too. We're racist. And but you say that you love God. You're a liar. And that's in the book of John. But you're a liar for sure. It is not so. So in order for us to really understand the kingdom, we got to understand God's love.
Yes,
absolutely. That's the key, right? Now, the thing is, whenever we say kingdom, We have to understand the kingdom is the king's domain, where mm-hmm. whatever king says, that's what goes for.
There you go.
Well, what did our king tell us to do? He didn't tell us to judge nobody. He didn't tell us to fix nobody. He didn't tell us to rebuke everybody. He told us to love. Mm-hmm. He also told us to reason one with another, come together and yep. reason one with another so mm-hmm. that we can come to an understanding, because there's only one Holy Spirit. This is where I'm at.
Oh, come on, sis.
There's only one Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. just one. So one Holy Spirit, you can't tell me that the Holy Spirit is telling 45,000 different Christians Jesus. To separate themselves and be divided. Mm-hmm. That's against the will of God. Christ Jesus mm-hmm. prayed in John 17. He said the one prayer he had for us is that we would be one.
One, that's right.
One. He sent one Holy Spirit. If we are all listening to that one Holy Spirit, we would be unified. Mm-hmm. But instead, we have these flesh agendas. And what the flesh agenda does is it appreciates exclusivity, because then that pumps up the ego. Mm-hmm. Whereas inclusive, or the gospel of inclusion, also pumps up the flesh. Mm-hmm. To whereas I can do whatever I want to do and I'm still saved. Bro, yep. the scriptures do not back up that mindset. But mm-hmm. I can appreciate the desire to tear down the walls of exclusion. But I just mm-hmm. believe they've taken it a little too far.
Right.
I honestly, to be totally honest with you, you know, when it comes to, you know, my Muslim brothers and sisters, I have absolutely no problem with them. If anything, I'm like, you know, y'all work it awfully hard. You know, Jesus can make it much easier for you. You know, that's just where I'm at, you know. Yeah. But that same notion with many other Christian denominations.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You know, if you're depending on Jesus, it'd make it much easier on you. If you just accepted the work of Jesus, mm-hmm. it would be much easier on you. So with the gospel preached, like you said, just preaching Jesus, mm-hmm. We see inclusion with Christ. When the disciples came to him
mm-hmm.
and they were saying, Master, these men are casting out demons in your name, but they're not with us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're for us. Let them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shut them down. Don't exclude them. Hey, they for us. Let's go. Power to the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, you're good, because, you know, it's Jesus is just so. Remember, said the kingdom of Matthew 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, mm-hmm. and the violence take it by force. Why did it suffer violence? Is because what Jesus brought was liberty, mm-hmm. and the people were in bondage. They were in such bondage, where Jesus comes on the scene, and he's teaching about the government of God, and these people are like literally being free. Delivered, you know, all the brokenhearted, no more Pharisees and Sadducees, taskmasters, all this stuff. And so people were like attacking this message of Christ. And that's why it was taken by force. But we're not doing that. And so we don't see where's the people that's running? Where's the 3,000 being added? Where's the 5,000 being added? We're not letting them know about the liberty that we have. In God's kingdom. God's kingdom has standards. It has requirements. It has commands. And so what they're saying, I mean, you know, Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of verse 21, they say, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's scripture. So with this doctrine of inclusion, so it's saying that, okay, you can do all this, but you're still included because Christ did it all for you.
Then so it's almost like they've gone too far. Mm-hmm. Over to the other side. And if they just dialed it, because again, the requirement is believe, receive, accept the work of Christ. You know, and we can go into be baptized, receive Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. Okay. We see examples of that with the apostles. But it's God who adds daily mm-hmm. to the church. And so it's still a requirement. You said go into Galatians 5. But even in Galatians 5, in the early part of Galatians 5, mm-hmm. he was talking about, again, the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherever Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And he said, because they were talking about how the Jewish believers wanted mm-hmm. them to be circumcised in order right. to be holy enough to be in the church. So again, mm-hmm. even here, men were adding works into mm-hmm. what was actually required of by Christ. And that's when Paul had to tell them that, you know, if you're doing this for the works, then, you know, then Christ does not even avail you. It doesn't benefit you at all. Mm-hmm. The work of Christ does not benefit you if you're going about these works in order to be righteous, in order to be whole. You know, so again, his teachings let us know, and with that, as far as in the kingdom of God, in the king's domain, when we know that Christ himself is working in us, both will and do according to his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. When God adds you to his church, which is basically the called out, he called you out of the world, called you out of darkness, he called you out of the things that you depend upon within your flesh. Mm-hmm. In order to be changed from the inside out, instead of from the outside mm-hmm. in, now we're being changed from the inside out mm-hmm. by the Spirit of God himself living in us, working in us, what will and do according to his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. To whereas, you know, the thing, when you are been added, then the things that you used to do, you no longer do. But it's still a process that God is then working out within you. So if we know that God is working these things out, why do you think it is that we believers judge the work of God in one another?
Hmm.
Hmm. God does work in us to both will and do mm-hmm. according to his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. But we think people are supposed to be on our timeline, on our time scale, that they, you know, they're supposed to instantly be fixed and repaired from all the hurt, the trauma, and everything else that causes them to do these things. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we judge God's work in people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? A lot of times we forget the work that he's done in our lives and still needs to do in our life mm-hmm. that we're fighting against him to do. Mm-hmm. Those of us who recognize that it took God a while to keep knocking on Andre's head to get him to comply.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And there's some things he's still working on Andre on. So why can't we have that mental comprehension that if God was doing all this and waiting on me to get my stuff together and still get it together, why can't I have that same compassion for everybody else? I don't have no timeline for you to get together. I just want to let you know that there's a Christ that can do it for you.
That's it.
That's it. That's all. Come on, let's do this journey together. You got your lane. I have my lane. You fall, I'm going to help pick you back up. And hopefully, if I stumble and fall, hopefully you right there to pick me back up too. Without judgment, come on, bro, let's go. Come on, sis, let's go. We got some work to do. The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs your work. Everybody else that's listening, the kingdom needs your work. There's already predestined assignments in your life that's supposed to help advance the kingdom of God. So we don't have time to be pointing out flaws, knowing if you was to ask God in the mirror, God, what do you see in me? Okay. You better get you a chair and sit down because you're going to fall to the floor when he tells you. Because it ain't going to be nice. It's not going to be pretty.
Okay, so with that being said, then again, not the gospel of inclusion, but who am I then to say? Well, because God hasn't finished the work in you. Mm-hmm. You can't sing. You can't pray. You can't preach. You can't teach. Because the work that God is doing in you hasn't made it to the level that I accept.
Hmm. And who are we to determine that level? That's when we get back into man-made organizational. You know, because God can use anyone he wants to prophesy, to preach, to teach, or whatever. But we set these, okay, well, I need you to go to school. Okay, I see the calling on your life, but I need you to go to school for 2 years first. What does that have to do with anything when the Holy Spirit is leading you to release a word to his people? Absolutely nothing. Now, I know you got a library of books from school. I have a library of books from school. Okay, that's nice. It's good for teaching. It's good for reference. But the bottom line is we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into. The message should always be, whenever we have an opportunity to preach or teach or whatever, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to God's people?
Yes.
Not what Andre wants, not what Andre feels, not my emotions. What does God wants to say to his people? Because the key is God knows who's going to be there. He knows on all these Facebook lives and stuff. He knows who's going to listen, who's going to tune in, who's going to catch the replay. Our discernment needs to be so sharp so that we can be so accurate in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. When people listen, it's changing their lives. It's, man, I'm so glad I tuned in. And it's not because of us. Yes. It is not because of us. And that's the problem. We keep hearing the same old Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're not relating anything from the Old Testament to Christ. You know what I'm saying? We got people, we got denominations that want to do Old Testament law, New Testament. What's the point of having Christ if you're going to try to put me in bondage with the old?
Come on. That's
you make his sacrifice of no effect. It's basically in vain because you're still depending on your own works to bring about your righteousness and your own works of 50 rag to God. Yeah. It just does not work. So this is what I was going to say, because I know I'm running out of time. In regards to inclusion,
mm-hmm.
I can agree with the principle of inclusion, mm-hmm. but not the gospel of inclusion,
mm-hmm.
that does not require faith and acceptance.
Yep.
Of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and invite him to do a work in you,
mm-hmm.
hey, my hands are up. Hallelujah. Yeah. God's going to do that work. But that is at least required. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I if you want to, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior wherever you are. I don't know if God added you, because it's a whole mm-hmm. lot of people in the buildings that God ain't added. I can't tell you if God added you because of the name on the outside of your building. I can't tell you if God added you because of the clothing that you have on. So my job is to love everybody,
mm-hmm.
period, equally. Okay? So in regards to that concept, as far as everybody's included in my love, everybody's included and welcome to come. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Everybody's mm-hmm. included with, let me teach you how to prophesy. Let me teach you how to hear God. Here, let's cast out some debt. Everybody is welcome and included in this place. Everybody. Anybody wants to park the door, come on in. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care what you dress like. I don't care. Transgender, I don't care. Because mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is, once you accept Christ Jesus, he going to work on you. My job is to love you. That's the only thing he told mm-hmm. me to do.
Yep, that's it.
So the premise, or like I said, the principle of inclusion, as far as inviting everyone or being included, the act of including or including everyone in a group or structure, I can agree with that.
Yep.
The gospel of inclusion, nah, bruh, you went too far.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because the truth is they're not asking, they're not saying that there's something you have to do on your end. Mm-hmm. It's just done. Mm-hmm. You don't have to accept him as Lord or Savior. You don't have to confess with your mouth. You don't have to do all the, you don't do none of that. You're just already included. Can I share one quick, I know you're about to run out, I know we run out of time. There was something that I read that's going to really just blow, it's in that article I sent you. Mm-hmm. This is about hell, because they don't believe in hell. There is no hell.
Well, but, this is what they believe, though. Hold on, real quick. Let me get
okay.
you.
Okay.
Because you actually said something, and I wanted to jump in. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. They believe that they don't believe in the after and people going to hell. Mm-hmm. They believe that you're in hell right now.
Oh, wow.
That this is hell. Okay. And in some instances, I can sort of see that with the number of people who are in bondage. Because mm-hmm. the word says the gates of hell. People are in bondage, enclosed, not free.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that. But there's definitely a hell. Anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
No, because in this writing,
mm-hmm.
they're saying that there are particular Bibles that don't include hell or eternal punishment. It's not mm-hmm. in there. Hmm. I said, interesting. But when I did my research, it says, is it Gehenna with fire? Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. not hell? Is that not burning? But mm-hmm. what this man, his name is Diodor, wrote, and he's from like 390 back in the day. He says, for the wicked are punished, not perpetually, but they are to be tormented for a certain brief period, according to the amount of malice in their works. They shall therefore suffer punishment for a short space, but immortal blessedness having no end awaits them.
Mm.
So the resurrection, therefore, is regarded as a blessing not only to the good, but also to the evil. So if you've done any evil, you only got a brief time dealing with your torment, and then you're going to be included with the rest. As if God's going to snatch you out of this tormented place. Okay, you've served your time. Now come spend with me. That's part of this universalism. Because that's really, you hear the doctrine of inclusion. So it's also universalism and anything else that's universal. That's what they call all that together.
Mm. I mean, I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. The only thing that I know that hell was created and reserved for mm-hmm. Satan and his angels.
Mm-hmm.
I know that God is not willing that any should perish.
Perish, right.
However, I also know that you're not entering into the kingdom doing all that wickedness.
Mm-mm.
So mm-hmm. where are you going to be? If you're not in the kingdom of heaven, you're not, you know, where are you going to be? Because mm-hmm. this is something that I know and that has been consistent in my spirit. If God is not your king, then you can't be in his kingdom.
There you go. It's about relationship.
It's about relationship. And that is simplistic. So like I said, I understand why they were going towards that direction, but mm-hmm. they went too far in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I believe that God is not willing that any should perish. He desires us all to be saved, but he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believeth and accept him. And when you accept him, he begins a work on your life. And this mm-hmm. is something that we've all witnessed and felt. But a lot of times I believe that the hurt that has been felt in the church, that people have encountered in the church, including Bishop Pearson,
mm-hmm.
has caused them to go too far.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like, okay, some things I can agree with you on, bro. Some things.
Right.
Not so much.
Right.
Nah.
And you know, because even when we're talking about relationship, that's what the kingdom is about, having a relationship with the king.
Yes.
So even those of us who have accepted him, like in Matthew 7:21, that, you know, they're going to come to me saying, Lord, Lord, I did this and that, giving all their little ministry resume and what all they done. God still sees it. I don't know you because there's no relationship with me.
Yes.
Depart from me. So how is he going to, if he's going to do that to us, what is he going to do to the ungodly sinner?
Mm-hmm.
Got to make a choice.
Your key word is ungodly.
Ungodly.
Ungodly. That means you have not allowed Christ, you haven't allowed Holy Spirit to do anything within you. You have no God. You're ungodly. Mm-hmm. So there's no work being done in you.
Yep.
And, you know, in order to make you a kingdom citizen, that God will add you. You know, the Father, the King will bring you in to a position.
All right. Well, we are out of time. I know we wanted to go home. We got to do a part two. And we're going to make this a round table discussion. I just hear it in my spirit is we need to take it to another level because we need to reel this in to where it needs to be, where we can, where we don't go so far out of the lines. You know, our kids color outside the lines. Right now, you got some hurt children that's coloring outside the lines instead of standing in the line. Because sometimes we don't want to allow God to be a God of order. We want to kind of usurp. All right. We got to talk about your book.
Oh, really quickly. Gracefully Losing My Religion is my book. It is a journey into love without limits. It is available right now on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Or you can reach out to me in my inbox messenger and you can get an autographed hard copy. Hard copies are only available through me. So you can reach out to me directly on messenger or, you know, in our inbox and get an autographed hard copy of the book, Gracefully Losing My Religion, Journey to Love Without Limits. And I talk about quite a few things, even some very shocking conversations I had with God when I was over in Thailand and he just put me in check real quick about my religiosity and my exclusivity in my behaviors that I had become accustomed to in my religious walk. And he, as he took me further into relationship, he let me know I was all online. Hallelujah. But Apostle Fullwood, you get the last words.
First of all, thank you. Thank you for the invite. And this has been very intriguing. And yes, a roundtable would definitely be necessary because we want to help those who are, who've been misled. And so this needs to get out there. You know, it also brings question to that once saved, always saved. That part, well, I did accept Jesus, but you still out here doing worldly stuff, you know, so you really have not allowed him to be Lord in your life. You're not allowing him to be Lord. And so we need more. We need more of this. We need more breaking, breaking topics like this. Yeah, it's heavy. I appreciate you guys.
All right. We love you too. All right.
I'm Pastor Joe Nathan Lee Page.
And I'm Pastor Stephanie Page. And we are the Pages Speak. Join us next week when we will be talking about, what is it? Your idea, my idea, or God's idea? So, where did it come from? Joe's idea? Is it my idea? Or was it actually God's idea? So let me have the discussion about that as well. So join us next week, 9 p.m. next Thursday. We love you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.